Good evening. This is Life Rattle, your story show. I'm your host, Lori Callis. Tonight, on Life Rattle number 1347, we feature three stories by new Life Rattle writer Janine Carter. Janine Carter was born in 1995 in Manila, the Philippines. She immigrated to Canada with her mother and brother when she was four, settling at her uncle's house in Oakville, Ontario. Janine and her mother shared a bunk bed in the basement. Her brother's room was a storage closet that could only fit a twin-size bed and night table. When Janine's mother could finally afford it, she moved the three of them into a basement apartment, where mold was the main decoration and little mushrooms grew from the floor corners. It was the first home they could call their own, but Janine still had to share a room with her mother. Years later, they moved to an apartment building. For the first time, Janine had her very own bedroom. However, after years of having to share a bed with her mom, Janine was unable to sleep alone. The family eventually moved into a small townhouse in Burlington, Ontario, where Janine finally became comfortable sleeping without her mother, and where she perfected her English and made friends, particularly her best friend, Kyle Longer. The three stories we feature tonight explore different aspects of Janine's friendship with Kyle and the close relationship she shares with her mother. Throughout these stories, Janine writes with a perfect pitch. She moves us back and forth in time to let us see how everything and everyone is connected, and love in many forms. And we, the listeners, follow along on the edge of our seats, mesmerized by the sharpness of Janine Carter's prose and her incredible use of dialogue. In tonight's first story, our narrator's friend first dons his suit of shining armor in a hilariously gallant approach to staving off the attention of an unworthy suitor in the middle of the school cafeteria. And then we fast forward many years to find her friend, grown to a young man, caring for the young woman he fell in love with long ago when she suffers at the hands of her brother. Let's listen now as Janine Carter reads her story, Very Important, tonight on Life Rattle.
Really Important by Janine Carter. I sit at my desk and color the title page of my grade 5 social sciences folder. I color in a brown beaver, a red and white Canadian flag, and an auburn fox pelt. Students speak loudly and run around borrowing pencil crayons from one another. A dark shadow looms over my desk as I color in the fox pelt tail. I look up and see a pink-cheeked boy with a mop of chestnut hair wearing a Green Bay football hoodie. Kyle, my best friend. His caramel eyes look down at my title page and then back up to me. I think mine's better. Kyle holds up a sheet of paper with the entire page colored in blue except for green letters that read, Social Sciences. You spelled sciences wrong, I point out. Why is everything blue? Because Canada has lots of water, Kyle replies and rolls his eyes. He pulls out a chair across from me and sits down. Anyway, he turns around. I follow his gaze to a group of his guy friends looking in our direction. I came here because I need to tell you something really, really important. What? He takes a dramatic breath. Willem told me that he has a crush on you. What? I gasp. I look back to where the boys stand and focus my attention on Willem, orange-haired and freckled, whose blue eyes stare right at me. I snap my head away. My face heats up. I've had the biggest crush on Willem Laurie since the first day of grade 4. I was the new girl at St. Mark's when Kyle introduced me to his friends during recess, and I met Willem. I had never seen such a pretty-looking ginger before. Yeah, I know, right? Willem likes you, Kyle responds. I came here because I'm supposed to ask you to be his girlfriend for him. Really? My heart swells. Don't worry, though. I'm going back and telling him you said no. My heart shrinks. Why would you do that? I ask. Because I know he's not going to be good to you. He's not very smart, and he's not that good at sports. Hardly a man. Kyle turns around, his head bobbing, and smiles at Willem. Willem smiles back. Kyle turns to face me again. I'll take care of you. Just trust me, okay? I look at Willem at the far end of the class, his blue eyes still staring my way. Willem's hair sits on his head like orange feathers, and his freckled nose crinkles when he smiles. I look back to Kyle, across from me, his eyebrows raised, waiting for me to answer. He's my best friend, so I say, okay. Kyle grins wide, stands up quickly, and turns around. From across the classroom, he yells, she doesn't like you. I hear Kyle's bedroom door open and see the lights flick on. White spots float before my eyes. I pull the blanket over my face and groan. The bed squeaks and moves. My blanket is pulled off my face. Here, I brought you some water. Kyle hunches over me holding a glass of water. I sit upright and take it from him. I take heavy swigs and feel the water cool my chest. Thanks, I mumble and wipe my mouth with the back of my hand. My eyes try to adjust to the brightness of the room, but my eyelids stick together every time I blink. How long have I cried for? Kyle stares at me. He wears plaid pajamas and a baggy gray sweater. His dark brown hair sticks up in multiple directions. His caramel eyes look droopy and tired. He looks like a young man and no longer the boy I met 8 years ago. I sent him a text right after I got into a fight with my brother. I remember waking him up. The next thing I know, Kyle was downstairs screaming at Kevin, warning him to never hit me again. Then he took me to his house and insisted that I stay for the night. Kyle takes the glass and puts it on the bedside table. He reaches his hand out to stroke my face. His thumb brushes my bottom lip. I wince with pain and remember that my lip was cut after my brother's fist smashed into it. He'll never do that to you again, Kyle says softly. I'm scared to go home, Kyle. He crawls under the blanket and pulls me close to him. I can feel the heat of his body against mine. He kisses the top of my head and pulls the blanket to my chin. Just go to sleep, he says. Everything will be okay. I'll take care of you.
That was Janine Carter reading her story, Very Important. In tonight's second story, we learn that our narrator and her friend's deepening relationship moved beyond the platonic. Faced with pregnancy, our 17-year-old narrator decides to have an abortion. The pain of that decision and the shame that holds her back from reaching out to her mother come together in an unforgettable scene between mother and daughter. Let's listen now as Janine Carter reads her story, Strangers.
Strangers by Janine Carter. You've gained some weight. My mother's dark brown eyes trail along my thighs, to my waist, and then up to my chest. She sits with her newspapers spread across the dining table. Your bra is too tight for you, too, she continues. Look at how the straps press against you and make you look lumpy. Mom wrinkles her forehead and raises her eyebrows at me as if waiting for a response. I roll my eyes at her. I just got out of bed and ready for school. It's too early in the morning to be told I'm getting fat. Maybe if you stopped feeding me rice, I'd be skinnier, I snap back. Mom serves rice with dinner every night. She packs it into my school lunches. She even tries to make me eat some for breakfast. You're not wearing a big uniform shirt today. I look down at my outfit. My tight white polo shirt, with Notre Dame Secondary School's emblem, an N and a D connected by a cross, stitched onto the left, shows my bra pressed against the chub along my sides. I do look lumpy, just like Mom said. So what if I'm not wearing an oversized shirt? I say with attitude. You've been wearing oversized shirts for the past month. You've been borrowing Kyle's uniform shirts. You asked me to buy you bigger ones too. Now you want to wear fitted shirts again? I don't get what the big deal is, I smirk. You're freaking out over shirts. You've looked so tired this past month too. After school and work, you fall asleep and wake up at midnight to eat dinner and do your homework. You always have dark circles around your eyes. Mom starts to speak fast. You look like a raccoon. A raccoon for a daughter, and a raccoon who doesn't know how to wear her uniform properly, too. I'm sorry, I say. I feel my face get hot. My abdomen cramps up. Pain burns my lower stomach like a furnace. I wince. Why did you skip school the other day? You texted me to call in for you after I left for work already. If you weren't feeling well, why didn't you just ask me in the morning when I was still at home? Mom starts to yell. My head hammers from the inside. I feel dizzy. And why did you go to Kyle's instead of coming home? I told you, I mumble. I walked to Kyle's house because it was closer. Better than busing all the way home. I started to feel sick when I was already at school. Kyle had last period spare, so he came home at lunch to take care of me. I press a hand to my sweaty forehead and press the other on my scorched abdomen. I turn my face away and chew my bottom lip. Where did you go that day, Janine? Mom stands up from her chair and reaches for me. She turns my face to her direction and places the back of her hand to my forehead. You're not well. I told you where I was. I was at Kyle's. I know my own daughter, and I know how she lies. Huh? I cross my hands over my stomach and hunch over. The pain branches into my chest. I see Mom's hand reach into her other sleeve and pull out a small piece of wrinkly paper. My heart squeezes. I forget about the pain. Fear swims inside of me as I stare at the piece of paper. You know what this is. Mom holds up the note. I can tell on your face you know what this is. It's a piece of paper, Mommy, I hear myself say over a deafening pulse in my ears. I found it in your backpack. It has a number on it. It's my friend's number. I blurt out the first thing that comes to mind. Well, I called your friend. The woman's clinic? Is that your new friend? It's over. Mom grabs one of my wrists, forcing me to uncross my arms, and presses a piece of paper into my hand. She stares into my eyes. Janine, are you pregnant? Not anymore, I hear myself say and look down at my socks. One blue, one purple. What do you mean, not anymore? I got an abortion, I whisper. Mom lets go of my hand. My hand swings down, brushes against my hip, and hangs weakly at my side. I keep my eyes on my socks. Mom's slippered feet walk past me. I hear footsteps go up the staircase. Mom won't speak to me. She won't even look at me. I say good morning and good night I ask about her day when she comes home from work, but she only ignores me. I act normal at home with my brother. I act normal at school and smile and participate. I continue to give pleasant service to customers at work. Nobody knows. I feel the shame follow me everywhere. I know Mom is upset. Her 17-year-old daughter, getting pregnant, and worse, getting an abortion. It's a choice I made and can't take back. A week later, I can't stand it anymore and approach Mom from behind as she washes the dishes in the kitchen sink. You can't keep pretending I'm not here, because I am here. Mommy, I did what I did, and there's nothing I can do to take it back. I watch her shoulder blades move furiously as she scrubs a pan. She stays silent. Mommy, you're just going to make me feel worse about what happened. You don't think I feel like shit? I yell at the back of her head and notice loose strands of black and gray hairs too short to stay in her ponytail. And now I can't even talk to you about it. You're just adding to the pain. Mom shuts off the water, grabs a dish towel, and wipes her hands. She turns around and looks at me. Her face looks tired and solemn. You could have talked to me about it. Mom looks down at the floor and then back up to me. You were always able to talk to me about it. But you didn't. You chose not to. Huh? You told Karen you were in trouble. You went to Kyle's mom and not your own. I'm right here, Janine. I've always been right here. Why would I have gone to Mom? I think about all the horrible things she would have said to me. How ashamed she would have been of me. I visualize the disgust in Mom's face as she looked down at her stupid daughter. Mom would have told Kevin. My brother would have yelled at me and even hit me. Mom would never have looked at me the same. I couldn't tell her. I couldn't. Karen's been through similar situations, and I knew she wouldn't judge me. I finally respond. Mommy, I couldn't talk to you about it. I know how you would have reacted. I can tell you're ashamed right now. You never gave me the chance. My own daughter never came to me for help. You would have hated me. You hate me now. You're my daughter, my only daughter. She walks up to me, grabs my shoulders, and looks at me with tired eyes. You should have come to me. You should have let me in. I can see the hurt and the disappointment in her eyes. She wanted to be a mother, my mother. I'm sorry, I whisper.
That was Janine Carter reading her story, Strangers. Our final story tonight brings us full circle. We're left with a deeper understanding and a sense of awe at the incredible relationship between our narrator and her best friend. Let's listen now as Janine Carter reads her story, How to Throw.
How to Throw by Janine Carter. September 2010. I sit on the couch next to Kyle in the basement of the house he shares with a single mom. He turns and stares at me with his caramel eyes. Why don't you want me? He asks. Kyle, you're my best friend. I look down at my Navy high school uniform shorts. I can still feel his stare. We've had this conversation before. I'm sick of just being friends, he says in a hard voice. I look back up and stare into his eyes. You can have whatever girl you want, Kyle. Janine, you know you're different. You're everything to me. Kyle, just shut up, I shout. Please, just shut up. Can we just watch the movie now? Please? Kyle purses his lips, blinks, stares at me for a time, and then finally looks away. Okay, he says. He gets up to put a disc into the DVD player. He sets everything up and then sits on a chair, away from me, leaving me alone on the couch. We don't talk during the movie. July 2011. In the darkness of my bedroom, I sob into my pillow as Mom and my brother argue downstairs. She deserved it, I hear Kevin yell. I get out of bed, turn on the light, and stare at myself in the mirror. What had the fight been about again? My bottom lip is split open, my chin beginning to bruise. I smear away the tears from my red, puffy eyes with the sleeve of my white sweater. The sleeve brushes against my broken lip. I wince in pain. I look at my sleeve, marked with fresh blood. I cry harder. I hear the doorbell ring, and then banging. The front door swings open. Yelling erupts from downstairs. I run out of my bedroom and almost trip down the staircase. Mom waits for me at the bottom. She takes my hand and strokes my head. Kevin stands beside her. Kyle, a head taller than my brother, yells 2 inches away from his face. Who the fuck do you think you are, hurting her like that? He screams. What kind of older brother are you? Kyle's face is twisted, his neck strained. He wears plaid pajamas and a tattered old sweater. His tousled brown hair is a mess, like he just got out of bed. I shouldn't have sent him a text message. Kevin stands there, wordless. Answer me, Kyle yells again. Kyle. I approach the 2 men, unsure of myself. I have to stop the screaming. Kyle turns his head first, then his whole body. He walks away from Kevin as if he forgot what he was doing and approaches me. He grabs my face between his hands, turns it gently, and strokes my cheek. I watch his lips tremble as his eyes examine my broken lip. Anger creeps across his face. Kyle whips his body back around to face Kevin. Kyle, stop, I scream and begin crying again. I grip his hand and pull him away from Kevin. My whole body shakes. Please, Kyle, please just stop, I sob. I watch the back of Kyle's shoulders rise up and down as he takes heavy breaths. I squeeze his hand hard. Kyle turns away from Kevin. He steps over to Mom, still holding my hand, and puts his other hand on my shoulder. Janine is staying with me tonight, Kyle says softly and politely. Is that okay with you? Mom's eyes dart to my brother, to me, and then back to Kyle. She nods. October 2011. I step out of the doctor's office on wobbly legs and see Kyle approaching me. So, are you okay? Are you... Let's go home first, I say. He drives us to his house without a word spoken, and then in the living room, he turns and stands as close to me as he can. What's going on, Janine? I'm pregnant. Kyle stares at me for a long time and then starts to shake. He looks around the room, his head turning frantically in multiple directions, as if to find an answer written on the walls. He looks at me again and grabs my hand. Janine, I love you. We'll get through this. I'll get another job. I'll even drop out of school to work full-time if I have to. His voice is hoarse, and he speaks fast. I love you. I love you. It's okay. We'll be okay. Kyle, stop. I take his other hand and hold them both tightly. I already know what I'm going to do. A fist squeezes my heart. We're only 17. I'm getting an abortion. Jeanine, no, you don't have to. I'll do anything for you. Anything. He wraps his arms around me, holds the back of my head, and pulls my face into his chest. I feel his whole body tremble. Anything, I swear, anything. I look up at him. This is what we're going to do, okay? He pushes my face back into his chest and strokes the back of my head. Okay. September 2004. The bells ring for recess. It's my first day at a new school. I don't know anyone in grade 4 at St. Mark's. Kids get up from their desks and rush out the doors to play with friends. I take my time, zip up my sweater, and then step outside. It's cold out. I wander around. I recognize some kids from my class. I try to figure out which group of classmates to approach first. Who will let me play with them? I watch a football spiral in the air and bounce off the pavement and land close to my feet. Hey, a boy waves his arms. Pass it back to me. I pick the football up and hold onto it. I'm not sure how to throw one. The boy runs up to me. How come you didn't pass it back to me? He has pink cheeks, messy chestnut hair, and eyes the color of caramel candies. I don't know how to throw one. I hand the football back to him. Sorry. He shakes his head. Here, come with me. He sighs. I'll teach you.
That was Jeanine Carter reading her story, How to Throw. This concludes Life Rattle number 1347. My name is Lori Callis. I had the pleasure of recording Jeanine reading her stories. Life Rattle was created by Arnie Ackman and Guy Allen. Be sure to tune in next week for a Life Rattle classic show.